traverse. As long as you're alive, at one time in your life, you've had your heart broken. And it's strange that the only people that can always break your heart are the people that you always love the most. A stranger will never break your heart because you don't care. You have no investment. You haven't given a portion of your heart. But whoever you give your heart to has the ability to break your heart. And we always find ourselves have those situations going on in our lives. But this morning, as I read this week, I was reading the book of Hosea, and what struck me was how God's heart gets broken by the people that he loves the most. And this morning, I want us to use a reference of our own experience where we've had our hearts broken. And I want you to see this story in the book of Hosea, how God illustrates through Hosea the prophet in the terms of how Hosea is going to have his heart broken so that God can let his people know how we sometimes can break the heart of God. Hosea was a prophet of God, and God told him to go marry a prostitute. Intentionally by God. And here is a story. And I want to turn your Bibles, if you can, Hosea chapter 1 and verse 2 to 4. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, go marry a promiscuous woman. Thank God I never have to deal with that. And have her, have children with her, for like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord. So God tells him, I want you to marry a woman that is unfaithful. I want you to marry a prostitute. I want you to marry a promiscuous woman. God says to Hosea, I want you to go through something that I'm about to illustrate what happens in my relationship with my own people. So God tells him to marry a prostitute. And verse 3, so he married Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. As you go through chapter 1, he continues, this woman continues to bear kids through Hosea, but she continues to live a promiscuous life. She continues to go around finding other lovers, going with other men. She kept doing that. And the story in the Bible is that God gives Hosea such tremendous love for this woman that no matter how much she went after other lovers over and over and over and over and over again, he kept going after her over and over and over again. Now I want to look at verse 4. Said that the Lord said to Hosea, call in Jezreel, because I'll soon punish the house of Jehu, the massacre, just, and I'll put an end to the kingdom of Israel. So God is saying here is what's going on because of the promiscuity, the idolatry, the worship of something else. God says, I will soon end all this that is going on. God is showing that this is what's happening. Now, chapter 2 and verse 2, Hosea now talks. God is speaking through him, and I'm going to try to just hit the highlights because this is about 14 chapters of the same story of a man that is running after a woman who's promiscuous and just going after, and God is referencing about his relationship with his own people, okay? Now, rebuke your mother, rebuke her, for she's not my wife, and I'm not her husband. Let her remove the adulterous look from her face and the unfaithfulness from between her breasts. Otherwise, I'll strip her naked and make her as bare as on the day she was born. I'll make her like a desert, turn her into a parched land, and slay her with thirst. I will not show my love to her children because they are the children of adultery. Their mother has been unfaithful and has conceived them in disgrace. She said, I will go after my lovers who give me my food and my water, my wool, my linen, my olive, my oil, and my drink. Now, I'm going to try to illustrate this and try to explain what we just read. But here's a story. God is telling this man, I want you to go ahead and marry a promiscuous woman. And I want you to go through the emotions of feeling your heart broken. I want you to experience what it means when you get angry and mad, but yet there's still love inside of you that tries to run after this woman that you would want to not have to do anything with it. But God is showing this is how my heart is, how my life, that sometimes God has these emotions towards us, that sometimes he feels like, hey, you know, could I just turn away, or could I just break up? Could I just forget what's going on? Could I just create a different bunch of people? But yet God says, no, I will not. You remember the story with Moses, when people disobeyed God and God wanted to say, you know, I'm going to have a different set of people. And Moses said, no, you cannot do that. But his mercies has always been there for us. Can I get an amen? Amen. See, this is a metaphor that God puts in the word. And it's just to show us how much God loves us and how much he's committed to us. You see, when he uses the illustration of a wife and going for other lovers, because we understand when somebody gets married, it means commitment, right? Now, there's a difference between marriage and having a girlfriend or boyfriend. Because marriage means I'm committed to you. So God was expressing his heart of how his people were not committed to him. He was saying, my people are not committed to me because this woman, Gomer, was not committed to Hosea. She knew Hosea loved her, but she would come. Hosea would provide as the prophet. He would love on her, but she was not committed because she kept going after other lovers. There was no commitment. And so here's an issue where God looks out to his people. He said, I am your God. I am your Lord. I am the God that created you. I am the one that called you. I love you, but my people are not committed to me. And he said they're committing spiritual adultery. Spiritual adultery is when we begin to go after other lovers than the one who loved our soul. See, you see, when you and I got heartbroken a while back, your heart was wounded, you probably got over it after a couple months, right? Maybe that boy or that girl or whatever, they broke your heart. But after a couple months, you kind of did what? Got over it and moved on, right? Maybe you moved on and found somebody else, whatever. I don't know your story, but you moved on. But with God, he never moves on. Because the story in this book of Hosea does not move on. Even when he speaks and he's angry, he's like, you know what, I'm going to forget you, I'm not going to. But yet he doesn't move on. He keeps going back to Gomer, and Gomer continues having more children, because Hosea is committed to him. Now, why is Hosea going through this? Because God has ordained his prophet to go through this pain of consistently running after woman that is going after other lovers, but Hosea will not turn away. He stays faithful even when she is not faithful. He stays committed when she is not committed. Does that sound like us sometimes when we cannot stay faithful to God, but he stays faithful to us? When we can't stay committed to God, but he stays committed to us? You see, in Hosea chapter 2, verse 14 through 16, I want you to see, it says, let's see. Therefore, I'm now going to allure her. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. So this was Hosea saying, say, you know, this woman can't stay home. She keeps running after other lovers. She keeps going after other men. I am the husband, but she keeps going out. So I'll be home. She's gone. And I mean, there wasn't doubt. This wasn't a secret. This was wild in the open. It's like, this woman continues to go after other men. But because of what God was doing in Hosea, Hosea says, I'm going to allure her. I'm going to try to get her back. And I don't know. There's not a man that I know that would do what Hosea is doing. There's not a man that would have the patience that Hosea is having. Hosea, what he's doing is not human. It's not natural. It's supernatural. It's all by God, because God is trying to give us an understanding of what it's like when we cannot stay faithful to him. God is trying to give us an understanding of what happens when he's not the lover of our hearts. When something else begins to take our hearts, God is expressing what it's like. Because this is not human, man. This is not a man that is trying to do this. God is giving him the grace to go ahead. And he says, I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. This is the nature that God is putting Hosea. He's getting her. He's not taking her into the room and locking her up and screaming at her and yelling at her and cussing her out and just want to beat the promiscuity out of her. He's like, I'm going to take you. I'm going to lure you. I'm going to put some roses and flowers. I'm going to put perfume and I'm going to put everything else. And I'm going to tenderly speak to you. Now, I don't know. I can't be a man like that. I cannot tenderly speak to a woman that is doing that. But he's doing it because God is putting him in a position to reflect God himself. You see, when I failed God, God never came down and screamed at me. When I failed God, he didn't come down and yell at me. This is the nature of God, that even when you fail God, even when you let something else take your heart from him, when he finds you, he doesn't want to smack you or pull out the stone and hit you, but God turns around and speaks tenderly to you. He says, you are still mine, and I still love you, and I know you've gone after other gods, and I know you've gone after other idols, and I know something else has become more important to you than me, but I still love you. There's still a tenderness about God that no matter how much you love something else and go after other things, I wanted to tell you that God is still trying to get your attention. He says, I'll allure you, I'll bring you back to me because I'm a tender God and I love you. No matter how much time we walk away and do something else and just get our hearts into something else, God's heart is still tender to us. Amen. And he says, there I'll give back her vineyards and I'll make the valley of Achor dove hope. There she will respond as in the days of her youth, as in the days she came out of Egypt. So God is like, hey, you know, I'm going to, you know, this is a man speaking, right? Hosea the prophet is saying this. Now, in the days of her youth, that means this woman is a prostitute, but she ain't young anymore. She's a little old. But yet, he still loves her, right? He's still thinking about all these things he's going to do for her. I want to treat her like she was in her youth, man. I'm crazy about her. I'm crazy about this woman. She has found other lovers, but I'm still loving her. I'm still crazy about her. Now let's reference what the nature of God is. Verse 6, in that day declares the Lord, you will call me my husband, and you no longer call me my master. So she's like, I'm all in. Hosea is like, I'm all in. I'm going to win you back. I'm going to get you to understand that I am your best lover. There's not a man that's going to love you more than I love you. There's no man that will ever provide for you like I do. There's no man that's going to give you the care, the love that I have given you. And I'm going to allure you. I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to speak tender to you. And I want you to one day call me my husband and not master. I want you to call me husband. I want you to feel that you are mine. This is what Hosea is going through. This is what God is allowing him to go through. Why? Because verse 19 reflects how God deals with us. He says, I'll betroth you to me forever. I'll betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. In love and compassion. Come on, church. In love and compassion. You see, God says, look, when I watch you and I watch your heart being taken by other things, I'll still be there. I'll still go after you. And I'll still reach out in mercy, in compassion. Because when you think something else is going to satisfy you, something else is going to meet your need, he says, I'll still come out in mercy, in compassion. I still come and bring you back. God says, look, I'm going to give you what you don't deserve, just like Hosea gave Gomer the kind of treatment she didn't deserve. I mean, how many men think that the way he treated this woman, she deserved it? She didn't deserve it. And just as we are, we don't deserve how God treats you. You see, Hosea is going after a woman who is not ready to commit. Just like God continues to go after us even when we're not ready to commit. God is still going after us. He's loving. God in the book is showing that I'm loving a people who are not ready to love me. I'm loving a people who are not ready to put me front and center of their lives. I'm loving a people who still think I'm a far thought. But I'm still going after the people that I've created. You see, what is so heartbreaking, if you put yourself in this situation as a man, is to love a woman that still goes after other lovers. Now, I want you to imagine what it feels for God to love us while we're still going after other lovers in our lives. This story is in the Bible just to give us a glimpse of what the Father feels like, what he goes through. We read a scripture that says that I'll make a desert. And I'll, she'll be in a desert, she'll be in a dry land. And I'll quench her with thirst until she realizes that I am the only one who can quench her thirst. You see, what God does many times, and when you let something else consume you, when you let something else take your heart, when you give your heart to something else, God will let you go through a desert. You go through a season of dryness. You go through a season of emptiness. Yes, you could be making money, but still it's empty. You could get a raise at your job, but it's still an emptiness in your life. You could be at the best vacation in the world, but it's still an emptiness in your life. You could get yourself married and celebrate and just have the best time in your life, but it's still an emptiness in your life, because God says, when you put other things before me, because I love you so much, I'll create a wilderness in your life that you will try everything else, but you'll still come short, because I want you to know that nothing else can satisfy you, nothing else can bring contentment in your life, but only the lover of your soul, the only one that gave all for you. You see, sometimes you may let money begin to steal your heart. And you can find yourself making a lot of money, but you don't see it. You're like, I make a lot of money, but where is the money? Sometimes you may let family take your heart. And the more you become family-centered, everything about the family, let the family consume you, then it keeps getting drier and drier, because now you've let family take the place of God. Many times you may find yourself going after other things, finding other things to be the lover of your soul. And the more you go after those things, it's getting drier and drier. Because God says, nothing else, no other lovers that you can commit your heart and your intention, everything to, that can satisfy your soul. Here is why nothing else can satisfy your soul. Your soul is eternal. Because your soul is eternal, nothing temporal can satisfy an eternal thing. Your soul is invisible. And if I try to go after visible things, they cannot satisfy invisible entity. Because my soul is eternal, only an eternal God can satisfy my soul. Right? Because my soul is invisible, only an invisible God can satisfy my soul. don't know about you, but I drive a diesel engine car. And only diesel can work in that car. I can go over and put gasoline in, and I'm going to crush it. I'm going to destroy it because I'm trying to put in what was not designed for it. So the only way I can keep my car running is only to put in diesel. I don't care how much gasoline may be. I have no option. I have no option. I have to only put diesel because you're designed for diesel. You are eternal. Nothing else can satisfy you except eternal. When you try to forget the eternity of God, the eternal God to satisfy your soul, and you go after other things, you just keep crushing yourself. We have to get back to a place where God is saying, I've given you my heart. Please don't break my heart. I am the love of your soul. Don't go after other lovers. No one else can satisfy you. And this is a story in the book of Hosea. God is showing his heart towards us, his people. Can I get an amen? Amen. You see, I got to tell you something. There's a time I was a pastor at a church, and I got so caught up with the work of church, and I could still preach, I could still talk the Christian language, I could still counsel people, I could still help people, I could still do all that. But you know what was lacking? My affection for God. And my affection of God was reflected in the dryness of my prayer life. Was reflected in the fact that there was no desire inside of me to spend time in God's Word, even though I had a title in my life. It was reflected in days and weeks and months that would go by without ever getting on my knees. Now, it's unbelievable, but I was a pastor, but I had no prayer life. And that went on and on and on. But I thought, since I was doing the work, and I was getting paid to do the work, and I became a professional, you see, after you've been around the Bible for a while, you can always wing it. And I could do that. And it became the new normal for me. But other things, my soul had gone after other lovers in my life. Now, I wasn't doing drugs, I wasn't doing alcohol, I wasn't running after women. But my time was occupied with other things that were not important. I had more time to watch as many TV shows as I wanted. I had more time to watch as many movies as I wanted. I had more time to just do things that everyone does, but my heart was not after God. Even though I could still come and preach, but my heart was not after God. Because even as a pastor, the work of pastoring can become another God. And I was going after other lovers because there was no devotion in my own life. There was no devotion. There was no devotion. In the privacy of my life, there was no devotion to God. I remember one day just on the balcony of my apartment, I felt like God just came and held me and shook me. Because there was a dryness inside of my life, and I sat on the balcony, and God began to give me like a picture movie in my heart, in my mind, showing me where I was and where I'd fallen. And God showed me, look, this is where you were, and this is how you've fallen. You don't know my presence anymore. You don't love my word anymore. You can talk about my word, but you don't love it. God told me, you can talk about me, but you don't spend time with me. And as God spoke to me on my back, my heart kept breaking and breaking and breaking. I remember telling my wife, I gotta go, I'll be back. And I went to an empty driving a parking lot. It was midnight. And I stayed that midnight till about 3 a.m. and I was crying to God because I had begun to worship something else. I had gone after other lovers, and for over five months or so, I had constantly broken the heart of God, and I tried to go after other things, but God wasn't the love of my soul. And many of us may find ourselves because we think, I go to church, and it makes you feel good because you went to church. You can check off a list that you went to church. But if in the privacy of your life there's no devotion to the lover of your soul, then this can easily be a religious thing that you're doing, just like I was. Because what consumes your heart? What does your heart cry for? What is it that you long for? What is it? I want to just ask us today that there's nothing else that can really satisfy your heart. And this is the beauty when we started Winning Christian Center, because it was a new thing for me. And because I knew I was going to do this, and now it wasn't a profession. I wasn't going to be paid for it. And I was just going to do it because it was out of service to God. But I still today understand that I can never let my heart. I have to watch over my heart that nothing else takes it. You have to ask yourself, what's your heart? What else is trying to invade your heart? Taking your heart away from the one who loves you, who gave his life for you. God watches when things start coming between us and him. The reason we start to give, why we can't be at church, or things we got, why I can't be at a prayer meeting, or why I can't read my Bible, or why I can't pray, or why I can't do what God. Those things start breaking the heart of God, and God watches us, and he continues to reach out in love, in mercy. And he will allow situation that may not be the best situation, but he's trying to use those situation circumstances to bring you back to him, because he will never forsake you. He will never turn his back on you. He says, I don't want you to go through a wilderness, but I'll let you go through a wilderness so that I can get your attention back, because I love you. But let me tell you, friends, anytime you're in the wilderness, it's not the best place to be. So why in the first place do you let your heart be taken by anything else? God is calling us back, and we don't want to break his heart. This is how much he loves us. He says, I'll betroth you to me forever. I brought you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. God says, I'm here for you. And I want us to pray this morning. And in this, in chapter 2, verse 23, he says, I will plant her for myself in the land. I'll show my love to the one I called, not my loved one. So this is Hosea. Say, I will plant her. I'm still going to go after her. I don't care how much she goes after other lovers. I'll plant her for myself. I will give her all. I'll still go after this woman that's not faithful to me, that still goes after other lovers. And the same thing God says, I'll say to those called, not my people. Why? Because they went other gods. They worshipped other gods. You are my people, and they will say, you are my God. God says, I have one goal with you. I want to get you to a place where you can say, God, you are my God. God says, I'll get you to a place. God is committed to get you to a place where you will know that he is the only God you got. And he will be your God and you'll be his. It's like, it's a process. I know we may be like in a maze just going off and going back. And God says, I'm committed. I will get you to a place in your life where you know that I am your God. Hallelujah. And there's no other God but you only. One of the verses there, God breaks his heart. He's like, you know, I gave her all these things. I gave her the clothes. I gave her the wine. I gave her all this, but she gave them to Baal. Baal was a false god. I want you to imagine, guys, imagine this. You love a woman. You give her all these presents, but she texts and spends them on another boyfriend. How'd that feel? It's gut-wrenching, is it? To know, I bought you, I gave you $1,000, but you went and spent on the dude? How many know that we do that to God? He blesses you, and you take the very blessing he blessed you with as a reason to be away from him. Oh, why can't you be with God? Oh, I was blessed by God. Oh, I needed money. I've seen people where they didn't have money, broke, but then they get money, then they're like, God, I got money now. I got more things to do. But when they didn't have money, they were like, God, I love you. I need you. Then God gives them money, then they're out. Why? Because we take the blessing of what he's given us and go spend it on other lovers. What about when God, you're asking God for a job, he gives you a job, then you get the job and you use the job to be away from the God who gave you a job? Not because you have to work, but because you have a job. And that's what was going on. It's like they're taking my blessing and they're spending it on other lovers. And God says, don't break my heart. I love you. Come back home. Come back home. But God says, I will make sure that you know I'm your God, and I want you to know you are mine. That's why that song this morning, I Belong to You, was so powerful, because some was really burning my heart, but then the song came, I Belong. It's just all boils into one thing today, that as we live, we just need to know one thing. We belong to God, and no one else can satisfy us but him. So let's worship God, and we're going to pray and dismiss, and I'm going to ask you to just worship God with us, and I want us to pray today and turn our hearts back to God.